Fragments. Comments on Revelation 2, verse 4 to 13. Redfield, California, December 14, 1904. Comments on Revelation 2, verse 4 to 13. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is the midst of the paradise of God. And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2, verse 4, 5, 7 to 9. Here we see perplexing things are coming in, commingling with the people of God. Here are two parties presented before us. One party is presented to John as a party that are putting into exercise every human capability under the Holy Spirit of God, and they are encouraged with the greatest promises given to any person that lives, if they are striving to be overcomers. Here is the promise: if they will stand out from all pretentious claims that will be brought in as truth for this time, which sentiments it is Satan's plan to insinuate in minds, as has been done, spiritualistic deceptions for truth. Will the churches of today see and sense their dangers, but are of the synagogue of Satan? Verse 9. Here is a warning coming to our people, of assertions from those who claim to be Jews and are not. They claim to stand as believing present truth, when they have brought in sentiments that have falsified the truth, and have so mingled these pretentious, superior beliefs with the truth, that, through their erroneous suppositions, the soul will in future test and trial give up the foundation of the faith for fables. God says to every man, Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Mark 14, verse 38. There is a class that will be prominent who will give up the faith, and the seducing spirits of satanic agencies will overcome them through specious temptations. It is plainly stated of this class that they claim they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2, verse 9. Fear none of those things, the blasphemous claims, which thou shalt suffer. Verse 10. When, through pretensions, a work will be done like that of Judas, fear not if you do suffer. Engage in no human worldly policy to save yourselves from betrayal. Yield not at all to Satan's devising. He tempted Christ. All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Matthew 4, verse 9. I am in possession of the genuine religious sentiments. Answer, no. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now the Holy Spirit speaketh. Listen. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Revelation 2, verses 10-11. Here are statements to be presented and taken into the mind. Persecutions will come from the pretentious who are joined to Satan's army. They say they are Jews, but are not. And to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. Verses 12, 13. We see that some will lose their lives for the truth's sake. False testimonies will be borne by those who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. And false witness of false professors will carry out the farce, even to the killing of the righteous. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Verse 16. There will be raised up faithful witnesses, who will bring forth the words of truth, sharper than any two-edged sword. Their words will bring in many souls to become true converts to the truth, and men and women will go forth proclaiming the very message for the last test to the world, in contradistinction to the party who say they are Jews, but who are not. God knows. He says their words are blasphemies. They have heeded seducing spirits and are of the synagogue of Satan. Of some, though, dwelling where Satan's seat is, it is said, Thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Verse 13. Comments on Isaiah 5, verse 4 to 13. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry. Isaiah 5, verse 7. What cry? They are not treated as God would have stewards treat those who are God's heritage, and the Lord looks upon every scene of injustice, as described in verses 8 and 9. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. In mine ears, said the Lord of hosts, of a truth many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitant. I have seen in Southern California exactly this representation. In place after place, there are homes great and fair that are not inhabited. Costly buildings have been built, and then they have stood for years. Orchards, once productive, are left to ruin. What is the matter? The explanation is given in verses 11 and 12. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. And the harp and the viol, the tabret and pipe, and wine are in their feasts. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Isaiah 5, verse 11, 12. Pleasure seekers have taken up and created many places at great expense. The Lord has not given them the rain of heaven. Many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair. Verse 9. We have seen this. Therefore my people have gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Isaiah 5, verse 13. The light I have is that the history of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram will be repeated. There will be those who will bring in confusion in sentiments and will misinterpret and misapply the testimonies God has given. They will make them to say and advocate many things that have no foundation in truth. They do just that which many are doing with the Word of God. They wrest the Scriptures in their interpretation of them to create a vindication, if possible, of their own theories. They will do the same with the light given in warnings to the people of God in this our day. We shall find many in these last days who will pursue a course very similar in spirit and action to that which Judas pursued. They will virtually press themselves close to Christ as Judas did. They attend the Passover supper. they attend the ceremony of the feet washing, for Judas was the first one that Jesus served. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he went through his human agony with tears, sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. But an angel from heaven strengthened him, and he went forth with his disciples. Judas had told the wicked priests and rulers that whomsoever he should kiss was the one they were to seize and hold fast. Stepping out suddenly from darkness to the light of lanterns and torches, Jesus stood before them and calmly said, "Whom seek ye?" Not one of them had courage to answer. Then one said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus saith unto them, "I am he." John 18, verse 4, 5. But what did these men see? Angels of God are revealed to them in companionship with Jesus, and every one of them falls backward to the ground. Christ could easily have escaped. He stood before them transfigured, just as they will see him upon the throne, to judge and condemn these very men. The impression that was represented before them was sufficient to decide every man that Christ was all he claimed to be. The vision was removed. Satan and his angels inspired those men. Judas fell helpless with the rest, but he braced himself to go through with it, for certainly, thought Judas, Christ will deliver himself, and greatly would his name be magnified by bringing about such a victory. Judas salutes Jesus with a kiss. Christ did not turn upon the traitor with righteous indignation. He rises far above the level of human presentation. He will give all beholders an example of gentleness, forbearance, and long-suffering. Jesus does not refuse or return the salutation. He longs, even to the last moment, to save this man from working out his own ruin. The Lord Jesus says, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Matthew 26, verse 50. Canst thou imagine that after that which I revealed to you at the supper table, I am in ignorance of thy action on this occasion? Hast thou no sense of righteousness to betray me, thy master, who has borne so much from thy specious infidelity? Betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Luke 22, verse 48.
There and then there was hope for Judas, if he had then honored his Lord by his confession. Oh, what pathos was in that voice! The Lord Jesus could and would have saved Judas, as he afterwards saved the thief on the cross, had Judas yielded and confessed his traitor's work even then. How different would have been the history! How freely would Christ have forgiven him! And he knew what Christ's words previously spoken meant when he said, "Woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed." It had been better for that man if he had not been born. Matthew 26, verse 24. And he who has rejected light and turned to his own devising, it would be better for him if he never had been born. For God could have done all things without him, and his name could have been more consistently honored and glorified for his own soul's sake. True as steel to principle. We are brought oft to test and trial. What the Lord would have us to do is that every man and woman is to stand true as steel to principle, now, just now, as they ought always to do. When God gives us a work to do, we are to do our very best, relying wholly upon the Lord. Brethren and sisters, if we do this in the simplicity of true virtue, wearing Christ's yoke and learning of Christ his meekness, his lowliness of heart, there is nothing that can prevail against us. Friends or foes, reproach or trials, there is nothing in the universe that is strong enough to stand against a soul that is bound to believe every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, without straining the truth to meet human inventions. A soul that has put self out of calculation and is bound to advance heavenly principles will go up, not down. God will change the erratic nature and whole purposes of his life if he will be humble, loyal, true as steel to principle.